This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Time now for our Thursday check-in with Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Our first talk since Detroit got the green light to proceed with its historic bankruptcy. Well, Daniel, after Tuesday's ruling in the bankruptcy case, Kevin Orr was making the media rounds, and it certainly seemed that he got testy when the subject of the DIA came up. I believe at one point he said, "I'm done." At the same time, we're getting an early clue about that Christie's appraisal of the art at the DIA. So what have you heard?
Yeah, a couple of things. Yeah, he did say, "I'm done." When he came in to visit us, he made that comment, and he said, "It's our art," meaning the city's, and essentially, I think, has even raised the specter in one of his media appearances that because they have the city as a contract with the DIA, that they could cancel the contract in bankruptcy if things don't go their way. But that may all be rendered moot. And what I mean by that is the Christie's valuation came in at way under what a lot of people expected. I think people were conservatively thinking that would be $2 billion, and it came in at a range about $470 million to about $860 million.
Hmm.
And so I think what this does is it changes the calculation a little bit. There had been something that we talked about on your show a couple weeks ago after we broke the story mid-November about foundations potentially raising money to put into a pot that would help bolster pension underfunded pensions in exchange for keeping the DIA whole, essentially making sure that it doesn't have to sell any of its art.
And this was the plan kind of instigated by federal judge Gerald Rosen?
Exactly. And at that time, when they thought it was going to be about a $2 billion value in the art, the number that the foundations were kicking around was maybe it would be $500 million they'd have to come up with, which would be a very heavy lift for these foundations, despite their billions in assets.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you have a valuation that comes in maybe around $800, $850 million at the higher end, you may be looking at something considerably less than $500 million.
Something more doable.
And all these things are going to be difficult and one-off special kinds of things for foundations if they were, in fact, to do it. But I think the feeling is, and quote in my column this morning from somebody that says this is getting better all the time, that it looks more positive, it looks more doable. I think Judge Rosen is clearly on the muscle and would like to see something like this happen. Can't make it happen, but he'd certainly like to see it happen because it could help address one of the most knotty problems in the whole bankruptcy.
We probably should note that when Judge Rhodes was handing down his bankruptcy ruling, he certainly did not seem to express a whole lot of support for selling art to meet those short-term cash needs.
No, I think he said three things that I think are really notable in this context. One is he said that, and I've written about this several times over the last few months, is that the guarantees for pensions that are in the state constitution do not apply in federal bankruptcy. Therefore, they do not exist. It was his argument.
Right.
But he also said, "I'm not going to approve a plan that treats pensioners too shabbily."
Yes.
So don't come in here with a plan that is very draconian. He also signaled that he didn't think the selling of art to raise short-term cash really fixed the fundamental problems. So I think he's trying to say, look, these are issues. I understand these are issues, but find a way to make this work that isn't so draconian because I'm not going to approve the plan.
And so this could be the answer to those parameters.
It could certainly help. And I think that's really what they're looking for is can you get creative here? I think we're moving into a period here where two things are going to happen. Three things. You're going to have your typical legal challenges, which the lawyers are going to do. But mm-hmm. you're also going to have a lot of very creative bargaining and negotiating going on between the city and a lot of different creditors who have different issues that are important to them. And thirdly, I think the expectation is this is now going to move much more quickly because they're looking at a deadline to file a plan by about the first week in January, which means this thing could hit the same time as the auto show.
Wow.
And even if it slides a week or so, if it slides a week to the second week, then you're in auto show week.
Mm-hmm.
I think the expectation is a lot of these things are going to be moving very quickly as people realize that you've got to get on board. And if you don't cut a deal in advance of that plan being either filed or confirmed, you can end up with a much worse deal because that's the way bankruptcy works.
So basically, if you don't cut a deal, you're going to have something crammed down your throat.
That's exactly right, and they call it a cram down.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, the people that approve, that have a deal with the debtor, they get treated a little bit better because they're cutting their own deal. So they cut their separate deal, and that's incorporated into the plan. And then if you're on the outside, you get whatever's left.
So we've talked about what seems to be working in the favor of this foundation idea. What are the biggest questions or challenges that you see?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is these foundations are led by boards of directors or boards of trustees. They have their own defined missions in terms of what they are able to do and what they invest their money in. They don't typically invest for long periods of time. They don't make an investment that's going to spool out over 25 or 30 years. They might do it over five, and the reason for that is boards of trustees change. Missions can be tweaked. They want to see the results of some of their funding. So it's going to be a question of can they make a one-off, can they get their boards to say, yes, let's move forward here? Can they get enough answers to understand how this is going to play out, how the fund would be set up, how it would bolster pensions? I don't think anybody expects that these monies would go directly into the pension funds. Mm. They would be there to support the pensions or augment them, I guess is the best way to probably put it. So there's a lot of details they've got to work through, and they don't have a lot of time to do this. As I've been explained to me, endowment funds can take, 6 to 12 months to look at these kinds of things, to come to decisions, and they're not going to have that kind of time.
I would suspect that the whole idea of moving ownership away from the city would sit very well with the DIA leadership.
Oh, I think it would. They've been looking at that since 1997, and on at least, three different occasions in the last 6 years, they've approached the city and asked them to talk about ways to revise the relationship, and the city has rebuffed them for political considerations. And when you look at the politics at the city council table, you can imagine the discussion that would go on about transferring $1 billion or $1.2 billion or $2 billion asset to a regional authority. Mm-hmm. So as a result, nothing happened. I think this is going to be something that they would clearly want to look at and explore, and it would all be in the details about what kind of entity it actually goes to. But there's no reason that the current leadership and the current board and everything else just couldn't transfer over to whatever that new entity is.
Daniel Howes, Detroit News business columnist. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thanks very much.